morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team of Prudential Now Realty, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977, or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John, how are you doing?
Well, it's been an interesting week.
It has been an interesting week. We have plenty to talk about on the show today. So no lack of subject matter and stuff going on out there in the world. So, yeah, big news week. And also, we've got some real estate news to go over. So, yeah, not a lack of material to discuss today for sure.
The snowball has begun.
Definitely. Well, let's jump right into it. We always like to start off the show with two segments, one usually being a national celebrity, kind of a fun take on housing, and the other being local news. We always like to review what folks are seeing in the local news and kind of give our analysis on that. Probably not the headlines you'd like to see this week in the Herald, but Tri-City Herald definitely running an article this week headlining with Tri-Cities doesn't see boost in home sales. Now, whenever that happens, I get a flood of calls and people asking about that. However, many of our listeners have, a lot of times we're kind of ahead on the curve on those numbers, and so many of our listeners have been educated very well as to what the article was saying. In fact, it was just a month ago when we went over absorption rates in the market and how we were starting to track that absorption rate, if you remember, was getting closer to a six-month inventory.
Mm-hmm.
Once that happened, we said we need to be aware that tends to be a more balanced market as opposed to a seller's market, and then a greater inventory past that would indicate a buyer's market. So those numbers that we were reporting and seeing really being affirmed and held up by this article, one of the things it talked about is that was different when they looked at this is for so many years, we've been kind of that shining spotlight, the fastest growing metropolitan area, a lot of it with our construction, job growth, and the Hanford dollars we saw.
Mm-hmm.
For the first time in a long time, however, when Washington grew at a rate July through September in that quarter, this was the largest jump in home sales that we had seen since December of 2007 for the state as a whole. And so the Tri-Cities was one of only two metropolitan markets that actually reported slower home sales. And we've seen that a lot. You'll hear a lot of people in discussions and as they talk, a lot of times people say that the Tri-Cities tends to go opposite to the national market in many instances. I just know when people have those discussions, you hear that. Well, this is why people say that.
Mm-hmm.
Because the rest of the state definitely saw an increase when we stayed very stable. One of the things the article went on to talk about, and definitely affirmed by our numbers and research also, was that the growth was pretty much steady. I mean, it was barely a decrease, less than 1%.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, we saw average prices actually increase. The average price of the home sold increased. And I know that's kind of counterintuitive, but one of the reasons given in the article and by the Economist is the analysis that the house is being bought with the interest rates being so low, people can actually afford more house, and so that's one reason we saw an increase in those rates.
Bigger bang for the buck.
Bigger bang for the buck, and those low interest rates kind of throwing a wrench in things there as we look at that analysis. So definitely not a panic mode. In fact, I believe the quote in there from the analysis, it was Glenn Crellin, was a steady market is certainly better than a roller coaster.
Yes.
And I would agree with him. We can deal with steady, and it makes it a little bit easier to deal with. We just have to tighten up on our pricing, take a look at what the market is actually doing, and reflect those results to our clients.
Yes.
Now to our crazy celebrity house. We've seen multi-million dollars, hundreds of million dollar homes in New York in these areas. And our crazy celebrity house this week comes in with Shaquille O'Neal purchased what they think to be a vacation home recently in Florida for $235,000.
Mm-hmm.
Not million, McKay. I said thousand. I know we're used to our celebrity home being $235 million, but he actually
steal it.
It's interesting. Let's look at what's interesting about that is we've heard about such the decrease and the 50% decrease in values around there. And Shaquille is not known to not be a smart man with his promotion and stuff. He's fairly savvy with what he's done, his endorsement deals. He's pretty smart. I think he knows what's going on in that neighborhood. He actually purchased a home that was built in 2006, 4,000 square feet, five-bedroom, four-bath home in kind of a lakeside community of Mount Dora, Florida. And that's what in the right now in that market, 4,000 square feet built in 06, that's what $235,000 could buy you there. Now, I don't know if there's a job there for you, but the house is pretty incredible for what he got. So there's a lot of speculation about who's living there, what it's used for, but, you know, potentially maybe just a vacation home. And the way that house values could go, a very smart investment. So still out there making those. So kind of odd to see our celebrity house being $235,000. But when I saw that headline, I was like, this is great. This is real life. Now I think we can relate to that there a little better than we can the millions.
Mm-hmm.
So this week, what's going on? What else is going on in Tri-Cities in real estate? We always like to take our topics from real life issues that we're crossing in our transactions, stuff that we're seeing happen. And earlier in the week when I was in my jeans and my jacket and I had my flashlight and I was down in the crawl space of a house. Now, mind you, these are not things or situations they tell you about when you're getting your real estate license.
Yeah.
And I was looking at water intrusion in a crawl space. I thought to myself, this is a great real topic for the radio show. That's how,
yeah,
how sick my mind is, McKay. So I crawled out of the crawl space, and one of the issues that we were dealing with, and we've seen it quite a few times over the last month, partly because of the weather and the rain, is moisture intrusion in crawl spaces. What are the causes there, and how do we deal with it? So I went through, after we had rectified this issue with a couple different builders, some of our landscapers, and I said, let's put together a list of what's happening and why this happens and why it's not a good idea. You don't want to see a ton of moisture in your crawl space.
No.
Home inspectors and stuff will note that some seasonal moisture, some rainwater runoff, that will happen in a crawl space. That is why those vents are in there, and that's why cross ventilation is so important, because that allows that moisture to evaporate and escape and not be stuck in your crawl space. That's one of the reasons in winter it can be an issue to deal with if you shut those vents up and stuff to prevent freezing. So one of the things that we talked about, number one, is that the crawl space vents are a huge factor. That is one of the biggest areas that we see water come into a crawl space. So the first point that I wrote down is that we see this all the time in home inspections in our industry, is grass and sprinklers right up next to the house without a flower bed or some sort of buffer is not a great plan. Because what happens is with our wind and adjustments and our irrigation water, if you put the grass right up next to the house and a sprinkler right there, it's almost impossible to keep that adjusted. So if we have a big windstorm and the sprinkler pops up right next to the crawl space vent, you're just blowing water right into that crawl space. And also, on top of water into the crawl space, when you put grass right there and sprinklers at the edge of a house without a couple feet buffer, you're also spraying water onto the house, onto the siding.
Onto the windows.
If that bottom edge of the siding is not painted properly, many times it's a great spot for moisture to wick up into that siding. So these are things that we see that happen because of that moisture issue. So a lot of times a better plan is to leave a buffer area, have a rock flower bed or maybe some drip lines put up next to the house where you're not spraying that water out into the air and allowing it to go into the crawl space. Another thing that we've seen happen is we've actually seen those irrigation pipes, those high pressure lines right next to the house on hillsides. You have to be very careful because we've seen those valves not shut off or break those pipes. And then if they're on a significant slope, many times we've gone to inspections and seen the dirt actually wash out from under the footing that the house is setting on. So it can definitely be an issue. Point number two that I wrote down is it's so important to make sure, especially if you're in the build situation, that the grading of the lot can be done to allow the water to run away from the house. So, you know, if you can imagine if you're on a hillside and you don't leave a swell or a flat area before you get to the house, a lot of rainwater can, if it's on that slope, it could just run right into the house or right up against the house. Generally, a lot of times we don't have to worry about that as much in the Tri-Cities because of our lower rainfall amount. But for instance, last month we saw this three different times, and I'm like, you know, when I start seeing trends like that, okay, we need to identify this and help the consumer try to prevent this.
Mm-hmm.
So properly grading so that there's a slight slope away from the foundation of your house will help, because the roof is a collection point. I mean, the water hits that roof and it runs to that side, deposits right beside the house. And if it is not sloping away from the house, the only other option is towards the house, and that's gonna find its way into your crawl space. In all cases, it's not always possible because there's uneven ground and you can't always get that slope right. But having that slope to maybe a flat area or slope to run off, especially driveways towards garages.
Mm-hmm.
If you can get that to slope away from the opening of the garage, that'll help keep the water away from the house, the structure of the house. And then we see this all the time. What happens is that sometimes they leave the room like they should for the flower bed. So they leave space to put the flower bed in,
mm-hmm.
but then they fill it with so much rock and mulch that it plugs up the vent. You know, meaning that then raises the level of the ground back up to the point where on that rock and mulch, it's running again back into the crawl space vent. So a lot of times what we see properly done is people put small vent wells. They're, some people call them splash guards. It's the little half U shape that's a foot or 2 feet out from the vent, and then a little gravel in the bottom of that allows that water that's just dripping naturally off the roof to settle there and not run into the crawl space vent, and then that keeps the rock and everything away from the vent. On top of that, keeps the good airflow and ventilation under the house that you need to keep the moisture out of there.
Mm-hmm.
So that is definitely a big, big one. We've got four more tips after the break about how to keep this moisture out of your crawl space. We've also got, because post-election, we get a lot of the tax issues come up and the untrue myths out there. There's already been internet rumors circulating. So we're going to talk a little bit when we come back about exactly what this 3.8% Medicare real estate tax is, what the scare tactics are, and what is possibly true about that. So you definitely want to tune in after the break so we can get the real story on that tax.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Fabulous, fabulous new listing that we just picked up. Pick number two. Now, this is a property. This is sought after a lot. People love the larger lots. So we've got one of those Badger Canyon listings on 1.24, almost an acre and a quarter. This house was built in 81. It's a four-bedroom, three-bath house, 2,562 square feet in Badger Canyon with a shop. And we're talking a price of $260,000.
Wow.
It's very rare that you can find anything on over an acre, stick built, with a shop for $260,000. So that is definitely on our pick three there for sure. We have another fabulous property. Now we're switching gears up a little bit. We're going from our acreage properties to a townhouse in South Richland. So this is a gorgeous, gorgeous stucco townhouse, yard care is taken care of, exterior maintenance, three-bedroom, two-bath, built in 2004, right off of the new Vintner Square development out there by Target, everything out there, the new Gold's Gym. So very convenient walking distance
location, this townhouse.
Really walking distance easily to all of that shopping, the gym. Mm-hmm. And we're talking a price of $225,000.
Wow.
So to get into that part of South Richland for that price point with no maintenance is a fabulous, fabulous pick. All right. Before the break, we had talked about moisture intrusion into crawl spaces.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about a couple fixes you could use, splash guards, buffer zone between the side of the house. Another huge one that people don't think about in this area very often, some people say are not necessary, but it would be in a month like we had last month. A huge one that you can do is using gutters to direct the flow of that water.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking about just adding a downspout right into the flower bed to fill it up with more water.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people can go ahead and they can use the downspout with a splash directional guard to splash the water out into the yard and away from the house.
Or turn it away.
It can make, yeah, exactly. It can make a huge, huge difference in keeping water away from the property. Even a bigger upgrade that we've started to see people do, especially in the custom home market right now, is a lot of people have started to use pre-ran drains out into your storm drain. So during the construction process, when they're laying their utility pipe and everything, they're actually piping those gutter drains up into key areas ahead of time before the sidewalk and before the driveway's laid, so you can do pre-ran drains, which really makes it extremely convenient with a little planning ahead. So those are a couple items that you can use to help keep the water out of the crawl space.
And away from where it can damage.
Yes, we don't like to see that moisture in there. It's also it's something that can kill sales. You know, people, it's a lot easier to handle the problem ahead of time and then prevent killing a sale when a buyer and a home inspector are very concerned about that. So my month in different crawl spaces, that's what we came up with kind of our list of tips there, and that can make life a lot easier, and long-term for the health of your home, better for your house in the long-term. So hopefully we prevented a couple problems there for some folks. If you have any questions about that, service providers, who can provide those gutters and that type of work, please let me know, and we will get you to our service providers that we've used to do this type of work. The next thing I wanted to go over today that happened, and this happens a lot whenever there's a lot of talk about the elections and the changeover and taxes, there's been a lot of rumors circulate and kind of, I would say, misinformation go around. One of the things that was added recently, and there's a lot of talk, and people call it the 3.8% tax, and that's the Medicare tax on real estate. Well, there was a lot of scare emails that went around and said every transaction, you know, is going to be subject to this tax, you know, next year, and that's one of the things that's going to happen with Obamacare. Well, that's not exactly an accurate representation of what's going to happen. It's not going to be every transaction. So I dug into this. National Association of Realtors has done some research. I'm taking the information that I'm giving you from the National Association of Realtors. I'm not a tax advisor. I can't give tax advice. Mm-hmm. Everybody's situation is unique, and you need to see a CPA to find out exactly what your liability would be. But from the National Association of Realtors, the information that has come out, for example, is the way this tax works is it is a tax. That 3.8% is on the real estate sale, but it is on a gain over the capital gains exclusion that is in effect today.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, a married couple with a capital gains primary residence exclusion would go to $500,000. Meaning if you sold your primary residence and had a gain on that, you would be exempt on that first $500,000. So what would happen, and what would happen is if the profit, the gain on the house, was more than $500,000, then the 3.8% tax would kick in on the amount over $500,000.
So if you sold it for $600,000, there'd be a 3.8% tax on the extra $100,000.
Yes, and not just sold for, because you have to go back to what you had in it. So this is actually on the gain. So if you sold it for a $600,000 gain, say you had, you know, purchased for five and sold it for 1.1, then I guess that's a bad example. Say you purchased for five, yeah, and then sold it for 1.1, you'd have your exemption on the first $500,000, and then on the other $100,000 is exactly where that 3.8% tax would fit in. So, and the annual income of the household for that to be applicable has to be above $250,000. So, you know, the example that they gave here, and I'll just read it word for word from the National Association of Realtors article, is any amount of gain above the exclusion would be plugged into the formula to see if it's taxable. If it turns out that it's taxable, then the amount could be subject to a 3.8% tax. If the household had a gain of more than $500,000 but earned, say, less than $250,000, only $249,000 a year, the tax wouldn't apply. So it is a very specific instance, generally in a high-earning income household, that this would apply. But it is going to be there. It is going to be taking effect in 2013. So especially in markets that have a lot of luxury home sales, you know, maybe markets that have had tons and tons of appreciation where a home, you know, maybe bought for, you know, in the 80s for $500,000 now might be worth $2 million. So it's going to be an indication and definitely an issue for those folks. We are, from my estimation of the general house sale and the price that we see here, it's going to be less of an issue for our market. So there's going to be, you know, fewer people that it affects. So when you see that email and there is the freak out, we've also put a blog about this on our website, so the information was available to people. Because I do get those calls, and it really impacts people when they think. I got a lot of people freak out thinking that they were going to cost another 4% when we might not have had appreciation to cover that. So that is kind of the gist on the 3.8% real estate Medicare tax, how it works. If you have any questions about that, we have great, great tax advisors that we work with. When we get those specific questions, we'll be referring you to those professionals. And so if you would like the name of those folks for your particular situation, once again, you can go to kenmoreteam.com. There you can read the blog about this specifically, and you can also shoot me an email, and we will set you up with those service providers.
The people who know.
The people who know. So much to talk about. There is definitely a lot going on. We are going to be monitoring with those articles. We're going to be monitoring our inventory as we get towards the end of the year here. We're going to be looking at which neighborhoods and absorption rates are the best so you can help determine where to go for 2013. So a lot to talk about. We will be keeping a close eye on interest rates and watching those. And right now, everything is pointing towards a very stable market with us still. But in light of all the information coming forward, what's happening, we'll be paying close attention to how the year finishes out and helping you make your real estate goals and dreams come true. So we're going to be right here next week again on Saturday talking about real estate in the Tri-Cities.
On News Talk 870.